Where were you yesterday afternoon? She stares at me for a moment longer than comfortable. Why? I just need to know. Please. The front door opens.
Daisy, what's taking you so long? The beers are getting warm.
Both Daisy and Bethany stare at me. Stepping back, I look up and down. We're alone on this road.
On my way.
Don't want to be out here on a night like this. She turns to me. I was with Bethany yesterday afternoon, wasn't I? Bethany nods and grimaces.
Yes.
Why are you asking me that? No reason, Beth. Daisy smiles at me. Sorry I can't be of any more help. Watch your step down that hill. It's steep.
Yes, take care,
Bethany calls as Daisy joins her at the doorstep. I glance back, and they're still watching as I hurry down the hill. The weight of their stares are so heavy, it feels as though they are pushing me with their eyes. A lone seagull squawks, making me jump as it lands on a doorstep ahead and glares deep within me. No longer does it sound like a crying baby, it sounds like an alert. For a moment, I think that everyone's curtains will open and they'll stare at me. I gather pace and run until I reach the shops. Within a few seconds, I'm passing the old smuggler. The orange glow from within makes me shiver out here in the rain. The fire flickers, and the man I know to be Kyle is sitting at the bar. It's his fault that everyone knows where I am and why I'm here. I hate him. I really do. His wife totters around, smiling at him and leaning in for a kiss. Her blonde hair falls over her shoulders, and as she leaves him to collect a glass from a vacant table, her gaze catches mine. She smiles and waves, then her smile turns into a look of sympathy. Hurrying away, I stop at the corner before going into the back of the cottage and take my phone from my pocket. Damien still hasn't messaged me back. I run along the front, past the lifeboat shop, and I step onto the pier. Waves gently crash against the concrete structure, and I look out to sea. In the distance, lights come and go as the boats turn and bob on the choppy sea. The vacuous blackness gives me a chill, and like yesterday, I'm once again soaked through. Another shower begins to fall. Hugging myself, I stand there wondering where Archie stood on that fateful day with my sister's sun hat. Was he here, or was he all the way at the end? I have no way of knowing exactly. For a moment, I wonder if I want it badly enough, that I will feel her presence. Stupid, yes, but I need to believe that she is guiding me. I close my eyes and take a deep breath, hoping for some sort of miracle, but as expected, nothing comes, and I feel silly for even thinking it might. All I hear is the rain and sea crashing against rock, but all I crave is the warmth of a cozy fire and a cuddle with the girls while we watch junk on TV with a huge bag of sweets. I want to be with Damien, too. But he's left me. My hand reaches for my stomach. If Jess was alive, she'd be happy at my news. As I open my eyes, I see two people sitting over at the other end of the beach. One woman is looking at her phone, and I can see that it's Laura. Then I glance at the other woman. It's Natalie. Laura had to be on the phone to Natalie when she left her house. Natalie wants to tell me more. Laura wants her to keep quiet. Daisy and Bethany know something too. Everyone does. They're all in it together, trying to conceal the truth and sending me on fool's errands. I mean, all they have to do is waste the next few days. Then I leave, and they get to carry on like they always have done. I feel threatened, stupid, played with and laughed at, all at the same time. My neck and cheeks burn with rage. A part of me wants to run over and confront them both, but I remain still, staring. Laura's umbrella keeps both of them shielded from the light rain that has replaced the downpour, and it looks as though they are sitting on a sheet of plastic. Laura's playing with her phone, and Natalie looks like she's carrying the worries of the world on her shoulders. I'm hidden in the darkness. There are no lights on me. Laura prods another button on her phone. I feel a buzz in my pocket. Grabbing my phone, I can see that I have a message. It's a text from an unknown number. I open it, and my knees wobble. This is your last warning. Go home. I believed Natalie. I trusted her, and I thought Laura was genuine up until tonight. It seems that everyone is in on my torture. Bethany and Daisy, they knew. They must have messaged Laura as soon as I started running down that hill. Natalie, she's been stringing me along. Kyle and Mary, they exposed me by telling everyone I was here. Laura, liar. Cody, another liar. All of them liars. My fists are clenched so tight, I press through the skin of my palms with my fingernail. There's no way I'm going back to the cottage without confronting them. It's time they were called out for what they're doing to me. 40. Kate. I hurry away from the pier and across the beach, the sand firm underfoot. I thought you were helping me, but all this time, I point to Natalie. You and her have been in this together, playing games with me. You know what happened, and you send me these pathetic messages. No, I won't go home. I don't scare that easily, and I don't give a stuff about your warnings. Do you hear me? They both look up. Laura's brows furrow. Kate, what are you talking about? Like you need to ask. I wipe my soaking wet forehead, and I know they can see that I'm trembling with anger. Kate, I don't know what you're on about. Nat has filled me in on your conversation earlier. We were just talking about it. Here on the beach in the rain? Really? I'm not welcome in the pub, and too many people gossip around here. Natalie shakes her head and looks down. We wanted some privacy, that's all. Ignoring her, I keep my focus on Laura. She was the one sending the message, and all I need to do is prove it. Then I can finally put a face to Will Wilcox. Let me see your phone. I hold my hand out. She had her phone in her hand when I received that message, and even though there was no oil under where her car was parked, I still think she did it. Maybe the rain had washed the oil away, or maybe it was too dark to see properly. What? She brushes her damp curly hair off her face. Your phone. At the moment, I don't believe a word you say. She unlocks the screen and holds her phone towards me. I snatch it from her and head straight to her text messages. The last one she sent was to her daughter saying she'd be home late. I tap my number in her phone, but it doesn't come up as a contact. She didn't send the message. Natalie didn't have a phone in her hand, so it couldn't have been her. Sorry. I hand it back to her. What's happened, Kate? Natalie stands and brushes damp sand off her jeans as Laura stands. Her long mac billows as a gust of wind catches it, and her umbrella creaks as it fights to stay the right way. I was standing on the pier thinking of Jess when this came through. I show them the message. Then I saw you with your phone in your hand. I can see how you might think that, but I promise you, we're not playing any games at all. Laura places an arm over my shoulders. I can't help but sob. It's been an emotional day and my hormones are all over the place. The woman envelops me in her warmness. I allow her to guide me off the beach, and both of them walk me back to the cottage. As we stop, Natalie steps a little closer. We're trying to help you, Kate, and we will help you. Go home, and I'll call you tomorrow, okay? My dad sees me through the window, and he hurries to open the door. He waves and smiles politely, but I can tell he's worried about the state I'm in. Once again, I trust Natalie and Laura. I also wonder if I'm being a fool. Everyone in this town is one step ahead of me. They have been all along. Maybe the police will tell me more in the morning. 41. Natalie. Laura linked her arm in Natalie's as they passed one of the cozy harbour restaurants, where they watched on as people dined. She imagined how simple their lives were. Safe relationships, homes, marriages, children, stability. She wondered if any one of the patrons were hiding a secret lover, hidden away from the front window for all to see.
Laura, will you come up with me? I don't want to be alone.
Of course I will. Are you okay? Natalie shook her head.
Every part of that flat reminds me of him, and when I think of him, all I see is her. I can't sleep in my bed because he might have brought her here. I can't think, I can't eat properly, I can't breathe. She began to fight for breath. Nat, Nat. She held up a hand and bent over as she tried to catch her breath, and then the tears followed.
It hurts.
Your chest?
No. Alan hurt me, and I can't forgive him. I can't heal. I'm stuck.
The sobs came fast and hard. Laura pulled Natalie close and hugged her tightly.
There, there. It's all going to be okay, I promise. Let's get you inside.
She nodded and held on to Laura. The path ahead swayed as Natalie fought her anxiety. Eventually, she would get Mary out of her mind, but not until the truth came out. Rachel needed to know.
About what we spoke about, Natalie placed the key in the door of the ice cream shop.
What's that?
Rachel, I have to know for sure if she's Alan's. I can't get her out of my mind.
She's always believed that Kyle is her father. News like that would kill him. He dotes on that girl. Some things are better left as they are. Laura paused. I've never told Bethany who her father is.
Why?
Because she doesn't need to know. I brought her up. She's mine. Before Bethany came into my life, I was married. I didn't live here back then. I was with a brute of a man who threw me about like a rag doll.
I didn't know. I'm sorry.
That's the first time Laura had ever mentioned her life before Lou to Natalie.
It's okay. It was a long time ago.
It wasn't okay. People didn't just move on from being abused like that.
Was he Bethany's father?
Is that why you didn't tell her? With a downturned mouth, she shook her head. No, he wasn't, and no again. I wanted Bethany to be all mine. I told her that I had a one-night stand after a drunken night at a club in Plymouth. Besides, when she was born, I knew I couldn't share her with anyone, and we're so close. She could have left this town for good, but she loves it here as much as I do, and she keeps coming back. It's like the sea is calling her. She was bright at school, but we run the business together. I made the business for her and for me. We live together so that I can keep her close. And I'd never rock that boat by putting someone who has had no part in our lives into the mix. What I'm trying to say to you about your situation is that some things are best left the way they are. Bethany is so happy. Rachel is happy. Kyle loves her and she loves him. She will hate you for upsetting that bond.
Who is Bethany's father?
She turned to face Natalie.
You haven't listened to a word I said. That has never mattered.
Sorry, I have to go. With that, Laura pushed past Natalie and stomped away.
Laura, wait!
Puddle water sloshed into her boots as she chased after her friend.
Wait, I'm sorry, that was none of my business, but I'm not going to let it drop with Mary and Rachel.
Natalie couldn't spend the whole night in her own head again, fighting off the constant rotation of internal arguments with everyone.
Please don't leave me alone. Come up. Let's have a drink.
Okay, but no more having a go at me.
I promise, and I'm sorry.
Tomorrow was going to be explosive. She'd not only tell Rachel everything. It was time everyone knew about Mary's conversation and about Rachel being her deceased husband's daughter. There was more to the mad method that she'd chosen. When people run on their nerves, they slip up. Once a cat escaped the bag, the rest would follow. She would flush the truth out. Kate could finally have her answers, and so could she. No longer was she going to be told to shut up. Cody and Mary could both go to hell.
42. Kate. Wednesday, the 26th of October.
Mummy, I don't want toast.
Millie looks at me with a frown. Come on, Millie, just eat your breakfast.
I don't want toast either.
Rosie throws hers back onto her plate.
We want to go out to play.
Impossible. Not until the police had been. Not knowing what time that would be, we have to stay in all morning. We're going out later. You know Mummy has to stay in until the police have been. Millie gives up on getting anything better for breakfast and bites into the toast.
Why are the police coming?
They just want to show me something.
What?
A puff of crumbs escapes her open mouth as she chomps. I don't know what to tell them. Maybe the police are going to tell me who attacked me. Who knows? Millie is staring at me, awaiting my answer. I don't know until they've been. It's just about what happened the other day. Nothing for you to worry about. I tell you what. Do you want to watch telly while you eat? Rosie claps her hands together. I knew that would cheer them up. I normally forbid meals in front of the TV, preferring to have some family time. They grab their plates, and I follow them through to the lounge and put some cartoons on. Within seconds, they're pacified, so that I can mull over what the police might have to say. Creaking comes from the floorboards above. My dad is emerging from the shower. He was worried sick about me being brought home in a state last night. He thinks I'm not well from the blow to the head, and maybe he's right. Instead of allowing him to help me, I pushed him away. I only have 3 days to get to the truth. I'm going to trust that Natalie will have something for me soon, and in the meantime I will keep my ears and eyes open while spending some time with the girls. I've promised them a fun day, and I need to deliver. I can't have their lasting memory of this holiday being about police and me never being here. We will plan our goodbyes to Jess for Saturday morning before we leave. The girls still want to scatter petals in the sea, and I want to do that for her too. I call Damien again, and still he ignores me. A message pings up. I need some time, Kate. Kiss. That kiss at the end of the message gives me hope, so I reply with a simple kiss. Dad is coming downstairs, so I hurry to the kitchen and pour him a large coffee. It's the least I can do after leaving the girls with him all day yesterday. He looks worn out this morning as he walks in, T-shirt creased, and the hem of his pajama bottoms half tucked into his socks. Bacon sandwich? I ask. As he sits, he smiles. Thanks, Katie. I'd love one. I grab the pan and fork a couple of rashers into it before turning on the gas. Within seconds, sizzles and aromas fill the air and my stomach begins to churn. The only thing I fancy is chips again. I can't tell my dad about the baby, not before I've spoken to Damien. As soon as the police have been, we're going out to have some real family time. There's also a box of craft stuff in the boot that I packed just in case it rains. We'll get it out later, do some fun things. The girls really like you. I really like them. When we all go home, Can we keep in touch? I nod. We'd love that. He's proven himself, and I've decided I want my dad back. We can heal from this together. Damien's mum can have the girls too. Life is going to be different from now on. A shaft of sunshine reaches through the window and casts light across the kitchen. The sun's out. The bacon begins to burn. I hurry back to the cooker and place the bacon neatly over two slices of doorstop bread before passing it to my father. He takes a bite. This is the best thing I've eaten in years. You not having one? No, I had some toast with the girls. I can't tell him that I'd literally throw up if I tried to eat bacon, or indeed anything right now. I grab my black tea and take a sip while watching him enjoy his food. There is a knock at the door, and before I've even reached the lounge, Rosie has opened it. I hurry and pull her back. Rosie, what have I told you about answering the door? She looks at me as she pokes a finger in her mouth and chews it. You always call one of us. Anyone could be behind that door. It could be a stranger that has come to take you away. I've told you about people like that, haven't I? Rosie nods. PC Bickerford is on her own today. She bends down to Rosie's level. Your mummy is right, you know. Always good to be safe, kiddo. The PC winks and smiles. Come in. I lead her through the lounge, after she's wiped her feet and Dad is just finishing his sandwich. I thought it best that I come today and update you in person. We spoke on the phone, and you know I said we found someone, possibly a woman, who was on the beach at the same time as you in Polperro. I've brought a printout for you to see. The camera belongs to a local business that barely captures anything, but she is caught on it for literally a passing second. The woman fits the description that the witness gave. She is the same woman that was on the beach. I mean, she might not have anything to do with what happened to you, and we're definitely only treating her as a witness. Take a seat, please. I pull a chair out for her. Would you like a drink? Not for me, thank you. She places her police hat on the kitchen table and sits down. Dad leans against the worktop, and I sit close to her. Can I see the picture? She opens the folder. It's a screen grab from CCTV, so don't expect much. She places the A4 sheet of paper in front of me. I recognize the path. I walked down it. I scrunch up my eyes in the hope to see a clearer picture, but it doesn't help. It's so grainy I can barely make out anything but the figure of an average woman. She has a bust line, but is covered in a dark jacket with a hood up that is baggy, which doesn't help narrow down her build. As the CCTV was high up, the clearest view is the top of her hood. Are there any better pictures? I'm afraid not. We have interviewed a fair few people, and this woman was seen at the beach too. Do you have any more CCTV? Anything at the car park or by the cafe that I went in? There was CCTV at the cafe, but she wasn't on it. There is none currently in operation at the car park. We are waiting for a download of all the details from the machine. We're hoping that whoever did this to you parked there too. When do you think you might get that? Tomorrow, hopefully. We're waiting for the company to respond. Any news on the car? I swallow, wondering if I should tell her about the car turning up at Archie's nursing home and the fact that I thought it was Laura's. Then I hold back. Right now, Laura and Natalie are helping me, and I don't want to jeopardize that by bringing the police into their lives. I can't prove it was Laura's car either. In fact, I don't think it was. Besides, Dad is also standing there. He doesn't know that I was followed to the nursing home, and he'd be concerned that I went off snooping alone last night. No, so far we have nothing on the car. Your description was too vague. There are so many cars that fit the description, we wouldn't know where to start. Have you had any more messages? Again, I glance up at Dad. The message I received last night was as clear as it gets. Last warning, go home. No. I have to trust that the answers are coming, and that Natalie and Laura are on my side. In fact, if I pass everything I have to PC Bickerford, it will set me back. Everyone will clam up. Natalie might not help me, and I'm back to square one. We think that the person sending you these messages and stalking you is a very fixated troll. You have to be so careful online these days. We won't give up, but even with the social media appeal, we don't have much to go on. All I can say is, if you hear anything else, call us straight away. Whatever you do, don't put yourself in any danger. If this person messages or calls you again, let us know. Given the circumstances, I'll organize a couple of drive-bys tonight, and if anyone is loitering around, we'll catch them. Thank you. Knowing that the police will be close is a weight off my mind. You're welcome. Try to enjoy the rest of your break. Right, I best get back to the station. She pops her hat back on and stands. After I see her out, I head straight back to the kitchen, just as Dad is making another coffee. We best get ready to go out. Let's go to the beach cafe and get some ice cream on the seafront. The girls are already getting ready. He smiles. I'll get myself dressed and we'll head out. He abandons the half-made coffees. The police don't seem to have much. No. Did you see that woman while you were hanging around? I wish I did. I was too busy looking for you. After he leaves me alone in the room, I slump against the fridge freezer and exhale. What am I doing? I glance at that message again and shiver. Everything will be okay as long as I stay out in the open or with Dad and the girls. Whoever is threatening me is only after me, and I won't give them the opportunity to hurt me again. My mind flashes back to the CCTV screen grab. The woman in the picture gave me no clue at all. I couldn't get a feel for this woman's build or age, and of course her features were concealed. I'm in the dark. Bethany and Daisy, I didn't like the way they watched me run down that hill last night. I don't trust them. I hit the worktop and bite my bottom lip. Maybe I'm reading too much into them, but my instincts tell me something isn't right. And I shudder. Daisy has been really pleasant. Maybe it's the nicest people you have to watch out for. I check my phone again, and there's another message. You're still here. Big mistake. There's no going back now. You've lost your chance. Are you ready? Millie and Rosie are waiting by the door. Dad rubs his hands together. Yep. Let's go and have some fun. I swallow the need to cry down and follow him into the living room where I help the girls with their trainers, and I wonder if I really have made a big mistake, but the truth is worth it. It has to be. Otherwise, why am I doing this? As I replay the message in my head, I shiver. I'm getting close to the truth, and whoever this is knows that. They will not scare me off. My girls are safe with me. And I'll make sure they don't leave my side. We are safe. The more I tell myself that, the less I'm starting to believe it. 43. Natalie. The weather appeared calm for the first time in days. Natalie hurled a pebble into the sea. She wondered if Laura would mind that she'd left her alone in her bed. The same bed that she couldn't bear to sleep in anyway. After several shots of whiskey, she'd led a staggering Laura to her bed before settling down on the couch. She squinted as she stared at the low sun. If Laura felt half as bad as she did when she woke up, she'd need the paracetamol and water that Natalie had left on the bedside table. The lack of messages on her phone told her that she hadn't stirred yet. As she gazed at the deep blue horizon line, she kept replaying what Laura had told her. The thought that some man had hurt her in the past made her blood boil. The girl needed to know the truth, just like Rachel did. But Natalie knew that Laura was scared to tell Bethany who her father was. Come to think of it, she'd never even noticed Laura with anyone else in this town. She wondered if her friend had a mother or siblings. It's as if she appeared from nowhere back then, but as she said, she'd been running from abuse. She wouldn't want her ex catching up with her. But it was strange that she didn't seem to have any family. There was no getting around what Natalie had to do, and throwing all the stones in the world wasn't going to make the day any easier. She dropped the last two pebbles onto the beach. In the distance, she spotted Kate with her family, buckets and spades in hand. It was time for her to make an exit before Kate saw her. Right now, she had nothing more to tell her. But she soon would. Hurrying past the Pier Cafe and along the streets, she stopped outside the old smuggler and peered through the windows. As always, Rachel and Mary were setting up for the day. The pub opened soon, and she needed to see Rachel before then. The woman who was once her friend had her hair tied back with a blue spotty scarf while she pushed a mop back and forth, water and soap suds sloshing on the dark tiles. Rachel had left the sleeping baby next to the bar while she prepared the cash register for the day. It was for the best that Kyle was nowhere to be seen, while Natalie broke the news. She tried the door, but it was locked. Rachel ran over and unlocked it.
"Hi, Nat. We're not open yet. You okay?"
She nodded and smiled, taking in the shape of her soft-edged face. Her usually slim figure was slightly rounded from recently carrying a baby, and her hair seemed pinker than ever as her top knot bounced with her every move. Did she have Alan's eyes? They were slightly almond-shaped, more like his mother's.
"Can I help you?"
Rachel placed a hand on the doorframe. She realized that she'd been staring. Mary appeared behind her daughter. She scrunched her nose at the acrid smell of disinfectant as she inhaled.
"You need to go now."
She went to slam the door closed as she nudged Natalie out, but instead, Natalie wedged her boot in it. A clump of wet sand dropped onto the coconut mat, messing up the newly cleaned floor.
"I'm not going anywhere. You can't run away from the truth any longer."
She pushed her way in. Rachel ran over to her baby and grabbed the sleeping infant up in her arms as she sidled towards the back door.
"Don't go, Rachel. You'll want to hear this."
"What's going on, Mum?"
"Nothing. Just take the little one and go upstairs. I'll sort this out."
"Shall I get Dad?"
Natalie felt herself weaken at hearing Rachel call that man Dad.
"Rachel, please don't, and don't be scared. I would never hurt you, ever. That's not why I've come."
Sorrow filled Natalie's heart. All they ever wanted was a child, and Alan had fathered one all along. She should feel resentment at Rachel, but all she wanted to do was hug the girl. Everything she had, she would have given away to have what Mary had in Rachel.
"What's going on, Mum?"
Rachel said again. Mary stepped forward and pushed Natalie hard.
"You have to leave. We can talk about this later. You can't be here right now."
Natalie opened her mouth, but the words weren't coming out. She glanced back at Rachel, then at Mary, then at the tiny baby in Rachel's arms, Alan's grandchild.
"Your Mum has been lying to you all these years."
Her voice crackled so much, she wondered if the young woman had heard her properly.
"Mum, why is she here?"
A tear drizzled down Mary's pink cheek, drawing a wet line through her powdery makeup.
"Nat, please don't do this. It'll ruin us."
"She's..."
It was no good. The moment she said what she came to say, there was no taking it back. Did she really want to ruin everyone around her? Kyle had slipped up with Laura, but that didn't make him a bad father. He loved that girl with all he had, and Mary had cheated on him too. That man was going to suffer. Natalie didn't recognize herself in the mantelpiece mirror. It was as if she wasn't present, like she didn't really exist. What had Mary taken from her? She'd stripped her of her self-worth. Natalie had nothing left to lose, but she couldn't go through with it.
I shouldn't have come.
As she went to turn, she knocked the mop out of the bucket, spraying soapy water up the wall.
Damn, I'm sorry about the mess.
Wait! Rachel passed the baby to Mary and caught up with her before she could escape out of the door.
What do I need to know?
Rachel, stop it! Let Natalie leave! Rachel blocked the exit. Don't think I don't know what you and Alan have been up to behind Dad's back all these years, Mum. Half the town knows. Bethany knows. Daisy knows. All my friends at school knew, as it's been going on forever. This is what it's all about, isn't it?
The baby began to cry, and Mary bobbed the restless infant up and down on her hip.
Natalie rested her bottom on a chair.
You knew all along.
Rachel nodded. It's nothing. What Alan and my mum were up to, it didn't mean anything, did it, Mum?
Please tell me you're not leaving Dad.
I'm not, love. It was all nothing. Please leave, Nat. You've done enough damage. She wanted to escape the situation so badly, but her legs wobbled with nerves. They were numb to the idea of escaping what needed to be said. If she walked out now, Mary's life wouldn't change. There would be nothing to set in motion the release of all the lies that needed to come out.
Wait, I'm not stupid. There is more to this, isn't there? Rachel asked.
Are you going to tell her? Natalie bowed her head.
Tell me what? I need to know what you're both hiding.
There is nothing to tell. Mary shook her head, a panic-stricken look spread across her face. Her voice filled the room.
Alan is... was your father.
A tear ran down Mary's cheek, and the baby screamed louder, its little hands reaching for her hair.
No! Nat is fixated. She thinks that you might be his, but you're not, love. Kyle is your dad.
But the dates... Natalie tilted her head.
Kyle is her dad. I did a test, and that proved it. You have to go now.
After everything, Mary still couldn't utter a true word.
Oh yes, the test that you failed to show me the results of. There's more, too. Your mother is hiding loads more secrets. Lies, lies, and more lies. Do you remember hearing about the baby that went missing all those years ago? Jessica? She was just a little older than your little one is now, Rachel.
That seriously has nothing to do with Mum. Now, please leave. Rachel moved out of the way and took her crying baby from her mother. She wished she'd never mentioned Jessica, but she'd committed now to everything coming out, and she'd also promised Kate that she'd help. Imagine it, the precious baby in your arms right now. One minute she's safe, the next, you turn your back for a second, and your baby is gone forever. That's what happened to baby Jessica. Your mother kept information about that case hidden all these years, only I heard her telling someone what she knew. Imagine if your baby was killed, and someone could have helped the police at the time. Look at your baby, and imagine how painful that would be. Her voice boomed out.
Rachel stared, a tear drizzling down her cheek. Stop it, Nat. Kate's father killed that child. It was all his fault. He was drunk. He fell asleep, and that child fell into the harbour and got dragged out to sea.
Natalie could see that Rachel was upset, and she hoped that she'd given her enough to think about. Maybe the girl would now order her own DNA test. She knew where to find Natalie when the time was right for her to talk about the situation.
Okay, this is going nowhere. Your mother saw Archie disposing of Jess's hat on Banjo Pier, and she clearly told someone else, as I overheard her. Those words came out of her own mouth. If she was there, what else did she see? Laura and I visited Archie, and he told us everything. Mary exhaled. Archie doesn't know what day it is. Is that what you're pinning your hopes on? The truth is already out there. Rachel, take the baby up, please.
But, Mum,
just do it.
Shall I get Dad?
No. I need a private word with Nat. I've never heard so much bullshit in all my life. Just give me 10 minutes, love.
Rachel grabbed a bottle and began feeding the baby in her arms. If you're not up in 10 minutes, I'm coming back down to check on you.
She moved across to the door that led upstairs. Why did you have to do that? As she said those words, Natalie felt the weight of Mary's gaze.
Why?
Why?
It's all about you, like it has been forever. You and Alan played me for a fool. Even now, you won't tell the truth about Rachel.
I'm going to the police to tell them what you said about Archie. Laura thinks I should too.
So, this is all about poor little Laura. Laura the victim. I'm sick to the back teeth of hearing about poor little Laura.
I guess now that you're best buddies, you'll get the sob story. I saw you with her last night walking by the harbour.
Mary untied her headscarf and let her hair fall forwards to frame her face.
So, that has nothing to do with you? It's great that I have a real friend to help me through the grief and pain, not like you.
Have you ever stopped to question everyone else's truth around here? Laura moved here because a bad man is chasing her.
We talk, Kyle and me.
Yes, I know he had a fling with Laura, and he told me everything.
I guess you don't know who Laura was sleeping with when she first moved here. I guess you also don't know that she lost a baby because of what her ex-husband did to her. You also wouldn't know how bitter she was when she saw anyone else with a baby. When I was walking Rachel in her pushchair one day, I found Laura walking off with her. But did I say anything?
No.
I felt sorry for the woman. Of course, she said she just wanted to hold my baby, but I know she wanted to take her. That woman was, and still is, crazy.
Natalie's mind was a whirl with everything. Had the woman she'd left alone in her flat done something to Jess?
Oh, she had the briefest of flings with Cody when she moved here. Laura didn't care that Cody was with someone else. She didn't care that Kyle was my husband. Laura doesn't care about anyone but herself. It's easy to paint me as the bad one, but we all have a bit of bad in us. Life isn't black and white.
Is Bethany Cody's daughter? With pressed lips, Mary smiled and shrugged.
Just when you think you know everything, you realize you know nothing.
Please, Nat, stay away from me and my daughter. You're upsetting everyone. Opening up all these old wounds isn't good for anyone.
A sickness churned in Natalie's stomach as she felt the buzz of her phone. She pulled it from her pocket. Laura was calling. If Laura had accidentally hurt that baby, Cody could have helped cover things up and maybe, just maybe, Archie dropped that hat in the sea to help them. Maybe that poor old man has had to live with the crushing weight of what he kept hidden. Natalie darted out of the pub and inhaled sharply as she stepped onto the pavement. Glancing back through the window, she saw that Rachel was back without the baby, and she and her mother seemed to be arguing. Arms up in the air, Mary slamming her hand on the bar, Rachel pointing a finger. She'd started something now, and there was no going back. If Kyle found out about that conversation, he'd come to her shop. The man would be upset and angry, and Natalie had to have her answers ready for him. In fact, now Rachel knew, it was inevitable. 44. Kate. The breeze coming from the sea gives me a chill around the ears, but Millie, Rosie and my dad don't seem to feel it, because of all the fun they're having. I smile as Dad plays with the girls. It's like he's become a child again. "Do you all want some chips?" I ask.
"Yay!"
Rosie screams. I think I'll pop to the beach cafe to grab some lunch. I need to take a few minutes to check my phone and try calling Damien again. Dad brushes sand from the very little hair that he has left and laughs uncontrollably as Millie jumps on him while telling him to be a horse for the 10th time that day. "Hey, girls, Grandad might need a break. Can you make a sandcastle while Mummy gets lunch? I'd love some chips. What's better than chips by the seaside?" The girls scream again. It makes my heart swell to see them this happy. That's all it took. Sand, the tiniest bit of sun, and a few chips. No one is bored, but I do suspect that my dad might need a nap. I maneuver myself off the blanket that has been weighed down with the girls' toys. "I'll be back in 5, then." I stand and brush my clothes down before strolling along the beach. I try to call Damien again, but he still doesn't answer. Maybe he still needs more time. The least I can do is give that to him. When I enter the cafe, the warmth hits my face. I order 4 portions of chips and wait. As I hand the money over, I see that my dad is now staring at his phone, and the girls are running around on the beach. They're getting closer to the sea. A lump forms in my throat as I see Millie bend down to reach the lapping wave. Before I know it, I have the bag of food dangling from my wrists and I'm trudging through sand. "Millie!" I yell, but I'm too far away for her to hear me. I see how she kicks the water with her toe and proceeds to stand there as the wave laps at her feet. Rosie laughs and begins to sprint towards her sister. In my mind, she is running so fast, she'll run straight into the sea, and a wave will take her out. My heart bangs at the thought of having to go in. However much I tell myself that seawater is just water, that doesn't take away the fear that is filling my body. I drop the chip bag, and within seconds I reach the girls. "Get out of there now, Millie! What have I told you?" I yank her back and grab Rosie at the same time.
"I just wanted to touch the water, Mummy. We weren't going in the sea."
"We're going back to the cottage. Go and pack your things away now." By this time, my dad is hurrying over too.
"I don't want to go back. Want to stay on the beach."
Millie's bottom lip folds over her top and she crosses her arms. Rosie has started to cry, and both of them whine about not going back to the cottage.
"I don't care what you want right now. You can both sulk all you like. What you did was dangerous, and you're going to have plenty of time to think about it."
They have to know that I make the rules to keep them safe, and seeing them so close to the sea sent shocks through my body. I glance back, knowing that Jess is out there somewhere. And there's no way on earth my girls are joining her. They are too precious to me. As the girls sit on the blanket, looking as miserable as the grey cloud being pushed through the blue skies, they stare into their laps.
"I was watching them, Katie."
"You." I stare directly into his eyes. "I left you for a few minutes, and when I look back, you're on your phone, and Millie and Rosie are virtually in the sea. I trusted you, Dad." In my mind, I'm back to that day. Dad wasn't watching Jess, and just now, he wasn't watching my precious daughters. "I was keeping an eye on them. I could see them all the time, and they weren't in the sea. Jess lies dead in that sea. I don't want that to happen to my children." My dad takes a deep breath as if choking back a sob. "What was so important it couldn't wait until I got back with the chips?"
"I just needed to ask Danny next door to check on the house."
Rosie is now crying like the world is about to come to an end. And it's his fault. He wasn't watching them. And now I'm the bad guy. I stride over to get the chips, but a feisty seagull already has its beak in the bag. Running over, I shout, and the bird squawks as it flies off. For a second, I feel an immense sense of guilt. In the cave, the sound of a seagull saved my life. Now I'm shouting at one, like a person deranged on the beach. Brushing the bag down, I hurry back. We can take the chips to the cottage and eat in the warm. So much for a lovely family day out. Everything has been ruined. Right, pack up, I tell them again. Dad comes over to me and speaks quietly. I'm sorry, Katie. Look at them. They just want to eat their chips on the beach. We can all sit together. But they... I wanted to say that they need to know not to go near the sea, and if I don't follow through with what I said, they won't take me seriously. But he doesn't give me a chance. I thrust the bag into his hand, and he gets down on the blanket and hands the polystyrene boxes out. Maybe I was over the top. Millie wasn't in the sea. She was just touching the water, and Rosie, even though I thought she might run straight in, she stopped at the shoreline. Dad was watching them. Again, the problem is me. It's always me. Swallowing, I kneel on the blanket and take my chips as I look at my sad girls. Mummy's sorry. I just love you all so much. I couldn't bear to lose you, but the sea is dangerous. Promise me you'll always be careful.
Promise, Mummy.
Rosie hiccups her last cry and seems placated by the chips. Millie is already tucking into hers. Now let's eat before the food gets cold, then we can go back into the warm. Dad speaks in a jolly over-the-top way, and the girls smile.
Can we make an octopus when we get back, Mummy? Grandad said he'd help us.
Millie wipes her red eyes with her sleeve. Of course. I'll get the craft box out of the car when we head back. As I tuck into the chips, the saltiness and grease are most welcome. I feel as though I haven't eaten for a week as I shove them in. My phone vibrates in my pocket. I forgot to check it when I headed towards the cafe. As adrenaline pulses through me, I snatch it up, hoping that Damien is ready to talk. You know what happens when you take your eye off them for a second. A chip almost lodges in my throat as I scan the pier and the beach. There is no one around, but someone has been watching me. We need to get back to the cottage where my children are safe. Right, we need to make that octopus out of all the empty cartons we can find in the cottage. Before I can say another word, the girls are already back up on their feet, ready to go. Even Dad looks like he'd rather be back inside now the winter's picked up. With a thrumming heart, I shepherd them off the beach and back towards the cottage. I'll be there in a minute. I'll just grab the craft box out of the boot.
Okay.
Dad holds their hands and walks ahead. As I open the boot and grab the box, I gaze around one more time, but I can't see anything out of place. I think of what PC Bickerford said, that it looked like the person behind all this is some pathetic person trying to scare me and hurt me. They've developed an obsession with me online and in real life, and I allowed that to happen by coming here in the first place. I try Natalie's number, but my call is immediately cut off. She and Laura were meant to be helping me, and I don't have much time left. As I hurry back to the cottage with my box, my stomach drops as I spot another oil patch on the road, right outside the cottage. The person watching me must have been parked here when they messaged me a few minutes ago. My stalker is getting ever closer to me, and I'm nowhere nearer to getting closer to who they are. 45. Kate. As I place the craft box on the kitchen table, I push through its contents, There's glue, paint, sticky tape, and a huge collection of stickers and random things like pom-poms. The array of bright colours almost gives me a headache. Rosie slams against the chair in her haste to start. She drops an empty cereal box on the table. Millie runs downstairs with the cap from Damien's deodorant bottle and has two empty toilet rolls, shrieking with delight at what she has found. Now we are safely back in the cottage, I try calling Natalie again. Blood pumps through my body, and the boom sound running through my head is unnerving. Her phone rings several times, and then she answers. I can't talk right now. Why, what's happened? My heart is bursting to hear what she has to say. I can't wait until later. I'm running out of time.
I said I can't talk. We'll speak later.
Her voice sounds hoarse, like she's been crying. She hangs up. Something's happened, and the urge to know what that is has lit up all my senses. I need to get out of here so that I can find her.
Mummy, we need a water glass for the paintbrushes.
Millie is pulling on the hem of my jumper.
Can we use some sugar for the sand? The octopus will sit on sand, Rosie shouts.
Where's Grandad? I should talk to Dad, fill him in.
In the toilet.
Rosie helps herself to the pom-poms, shifting me out of the way. Millie, spread this paper over the table first. I hand her an old newspaper. She knows the drill, as we do this all the time at home. She takes it, and the girls begin to do as they're told, carefully placing the paper down. I hurry upstairs. The bathroom door is closed, so I wait, hoping to hear the chain flush soon, but it doesn't. In fact, I can hear him walking up and down. Dad? I tap on the door. He's not answering, and I'm anxious to go out and track Natalie or Laura down. With a whoosh, the door opens, and the air itself almost sucks me into the bathroom. In his hand is the stick that tells him that I'm pregnant. I found this. I can't answer him. Damien should have been the first to know, not my dad. I've been hoping all day that he'd pick up the phone so that I can speak to him rather than text. Katie, love, you got attacked this week and you're pregnant. You need to get checked out. I'm really worried about you. A tear slips from the corner of my eye and weaves its way down my face.
I know. I didn't know I was pregnant until yesterday.
Tears fill my eyes, and I can't contain my sadness any longer.
All I want to do is tell Damien, and he won't answer my calls. I lied to him. I told him we were coming here to honor Jess's memory, to say goodbye. He has to forgive me. I love him. Everything I've done, it's been for Jess. I can't abandon her, even though she's dead. I can't rest until everything comes out. Oh, Katie, I've accepted everything. It was my fault, and I have to live with my mistake.
No, Dad. There's more to it, and I'm not leaving until I know everything. He leans in and places his arms around me, and I let him. I have missed him for so long, and he's the only person in the world who shares the burden of Jess's accident with me. Damien will never understand. Not like my dad does. I can't believe I shut him out of my life for so long. I should have been there to help him with his drink problem. I abandoned him. Come on, Katie. Everything will be fine. I know it will.
No, I brought the girls into this, and it's not fair.
Whoever is out there playing me like a game will not let me win. I think of the message sent to me while we were on the beach. It's not safe here. We need to pack to go home. Tomorrow afternoon we leave, and on the way back, we'll stop at the police station to speak to PC Bickerford one more time. I've had it with this place, and I want to go home to Damien. I will show the messages to the PC, tell her everything I know or have heard, and I'll do the right thing and leave the police to do the police work. I can keep in touch with Natalie from Leicester. Right now, I need to think about the baby I'm carrying and saving my marriage, if that's at all possible. Once trust is broken, there's no going back. Damien will never believe anything I say again. Of course, whatever you choose to do, I'm here. I stroke my stomach. If it's a girl, I want to call her Jessica. My dad's eyes glass up with tears and he shakes them away. I think that's a lovely idea. Or if it's a boy, I like Jesse. Like Jesse James. I hope Damien approves.
Grandad, hurry up!
Millie's voice makes me jump. Right, I best get these empty toilet rolls to the girls. You coming to help? I nod. Yes. Do you mind if I take a shower first? I've got sand everywhere. Course not. With that, he leaves me alone in the bathroom. I exhale and sit on the toilet seat, taking a moment to process all that has happened. There's so much I want and need to do, but I'm now stuck in this cottage and we're going home tomorrow. Maybe it's for the best. I message Damien to let him know. I log on to Facebook and see that I have a message notification. Quickly pressing the buttons I need to press to get to the Remembering Baby Jess messages, I see that Will Wilcox has reactivated his account, and he's typing. The three dots wiggle, then stop. My mouth is so dry, but I can't move, not until I see what Will has to say. I click on his profile, and his profile picture is dark. When I pinch out to get a better look, a shiver runs through me. It's a picture of Willie Wilcox's cave. I scroll down his wall. Nothing. Then a message pings. With a tremble, I manage to click on it. All you had to do was to not say a thing, but you couldn't help yourself. The truth was yours to have, and you blew it. You blew everything, and now you will know nothing. I said I'd vanish, and now I will. Everything is going to shit, and it's all your fault. No, this can't be happening. The profile is once again taken down, and all I see is the outline of a grey head in a grey box. Will has gone forever. I'm confused. I know Will told me not to say anything, but then I was attacked in a cave. That was a game changer. Then came all the go-home messages on my phone and the creepy stuff on Instagram about the sea. That message on my car window. How dare this person tell me I shouldn't have spoken after they tried to kill me? There's another feeling welling up inside me, and it sent the grief and anxiety packing. I'm livid. My knuckles clench, and I realize I'm grinding my teeth. Grabbing a towel from the rail, I turn on the shower, press the material hard into my mouth, and I scream into it. I don't know what to do. I'm itching to go out there and show this message to Natalie. Maybe it's her, or Laura, or Cody. I feel like people here are watching my every move. They're all in on it. Whoever this Will is, he was never going to tell me the truth. Then I think of Archie. Maybe he's not as forgetful as he leads everyone to think. Stepping into the shower, I allow the warm water to wash away the sand, the tears, and the greasy chip fat from my fingers. Through the water and soap, I catch the light of my phone from the corner of my eye. Without any hesitation, I turn the shower off and step out, drying my hands before I snatch the phone. It's another message. Will is back. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I'll contact you soon to meet up. Please don't leave. I answer immediately. How do I know I can trust you? A response pings straight back. You don't, but you can. If I see anyone else there, you will never hear from me again. You will never know what happened to Jess. I reply. I'll be there. Where? When? biting my bottom lip, I flinch as a strip of skin tears. It feels wrong to go, but my messenger doesn't seem threatening anymore. I get the sense that they want to finally unburden themselves. Damien would be livid, but I have one last chance to know what happened. Shaking my fears away, I've already decided. I am going to meet this person, and I'll finally find out who Will is. All I have to do is await the details for our meet-up. For now, I need to go downstairs, play arts and crafts, and pretend that nothing is wrong while I wait for the message. I can do this. Am I scared? Yes, I'm terrified. But the truth is bigger than my fear. 46. Natalie.
Nah, where have you been? I was worried. Laura swilled down some tablets with the water she'd left for her. Have you slept all this time?
She nodded.
I'm so sorry for passing out last night. What a state to get into.
She paused and sat on the settee in her crumpled clothes. The smell of stale alcohol filled the small room, so Natalie nudged the window open.
That's okay. We did have a few too many.
I had to call Bethany, asked her to open the shop up.
Where did you go?
Natalie felt like a stranger in her own home as Laura leaned back, relaxing in the space where she normally sat.
I went to the smuggler. Then I walked for ages, hoping to clear my head.
You went where? I thought you weren't going to go there. We talked about that.
No, she shook her head. You thought it was best that I don't go there.
I went straight in, and I told Rachel. I told her that Alan was her father.
Laura raised her eyebrows.